The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. It is the 15th of October, but it feels like the 15th of December. Golly Moses, welcome to mid-October. And, it was 81 degrees yesterday I'm driving around. And now today's high, maybe 45. So it is rainy, it is dreary, and the sounds you'll hear are people already complaining. It's too cold. I wish it was summertime again. We're never happy. Well, I am happy to have all of you here. And boy, was I happy to see President Trump on with Leslie Stahl last night. Now, Leslie brought all the media bias, all the fake news, all the leftist presumptions. But I got to tell you something. President Trump's answers, he crushed it the entire 20-some minutes of the interview. And I've got to thank CBS. I got to thank 60 Minutes. They had full control over the editing of this. Leslie's obnoxious questions are there, and so are the president's superb, sublime answers to them. So I'll let you hear some of that here in just a moment. 866-660-5759. Speaking of things that were great to see yesterday, Cowboys 40, Jacksonville Jaguars 7. Just now, all is solved. All is great. Now we're going to the playoffs. Yeah, it's week by week, man. It's week by week. Next week, we go to Washington, and the rivalry that's supposed to be one for the ages, but it just hasn't been lately because it has been rare that the Cowboys and Redskins have both been sort of kind of good at the same time. And now they seem to be sort of kind of okay. And if the Carolina Panthers beat Philadelphia, which may happen because the Panthers are angry losing to the Skins yesterday, then Cowboys-Redskins is for the outright division lead at 3:25 next Sunday. So I guess we're not going to fire Jason Garrett just yet. We'll see how this all works out. But let me get to the thing that everybody craves. People are begging me for this. This will just take a moment, and y'all can do with it whatever you want. Maybe nothing, maybe something, but everybody is craving some thoughts from me about one thing. And then we're going to dive into the excerpts of President Trump from 60 Minutes last night, because it was multi-topic. It was glorious. It was every reason why we love him, which is why the people who hate him found much to deride. Imagine that. Okay, here's the deal about this past weekend. About a month ago, a business the Telegraph out of the UK ran a story that was echoed by Business Insider, and I guess somebody noticed, or somebody made the observation, or somebody was just looking to make trouble. I don't know. They put up to director Damien Chazelle and star Ryan Gosling. They said, this First Man movie that y'all are making about the biography of Neil Armstrong, or the focusing on the Apollo years, the space race decade of the 60s, the Mercury, Gemini, Apollo years. Yeah, there's no flag planting on the surface of the moon. Why is that? I don't know if they needed to answer this more artfully, or if I don't know. But now that I've seen it, I can tell you a lot of things that people who haven't seen it cannot. And they essentially said, and Chazelle's answers were wound up being exactly right, that it's about Neil. It's not a documentary about the moon landing. It's about him. It's about his life, his perspective, his experience. And I saw this crazy controversy come to life, and I wrote in Town Hall a month ago, A month ago, I said, tap the brakes. Y'all are going to look ridiculous. This movie is going to honor Neil. It's going to honor Apollo. It's going to honor America. It's going to honor the achievement. Is it an American achievement? Absolutely. Is it a grand human achievement? Absolutely. And those are not mutually exclusive. And everybody that went and twisted off, half-cocked in some sliming of this magnificent film, because it doesn't show the flag. It's Hollywood hating America again. Y'all are going to look ridiculous. And this morning, they do. They do. Now, please understand, Hollywood is a den of snakes. The Hollywood culture does hate America. The venom of its stars is obvious in so much that they do. So I totally understand how some people I really, really respect, even some who host the show prior to this one, can get this so completely and totally wrong. Because it's like ding, it's like Pavlov's dog salivating. Hollywood, flag. It's like all the stars aligned there for a moment of idiotic knee-jerk overreaction, and that's exactly what happened. So you take people I love like Hugh Hewitt, people I love like Ben Shapiro, senators I like a lot better lately like Marco Rubio. I think even Cruz had something to say about this. Ted, stay on the campaign trail. They're dissing the flag. The flag has shown disrespect. It is a lie. It is a falsehood of stunning proportion. This magnificent movie honors America with its every frame, with its every scene, with its every chapter. When you come out of First Man, you'll be so damn proud to be an American, you'll hardly be able to restrain yourself. Sorry for working blue. And that's just it. Damien Chazelle deserves a director's Oscar. Gosling is fantastic. Claire Foy, as the suffering bride of Neil, is absolutely simply magnificent. It is a portrait of this man. And here's the really important thing you have to understand. Is that it starts in like 1961 and Neil's piloting an X-15 and nearly dies. And there were like two other episodes in his astronaut life where he nearly dies. And so when he actually gets to plant that left foot in the gray powdery soil of the Sea of Tranquility, and you see it from inside his helmet, you hear him breathe, you see it's magnificent. And it is about his solitary experience on the moon. The total amount of time spent in the moonwalk, 6 or 7 minutes, maybe, because it's all about getting there. And then the moment of the footprint. And then here's what you just got to know. And you don't, guess what, kids? You don't know this if you haven't seen the flipping movie. So if you haven't seen the flipping movie, maybe it's a good idea to zip it and not intuit things or presume things as conservatives. As conservatives, we spend a lot of time criticizing the culture. We spend a lot of time pointing at ways in which the culture, for example, disparages America, disparages our founders, disparages Trump, blah, blah, blah. You know, pick your target. And you know what's important? You know what's really important as we do that? It's vital. We better know what the heck we're talking about. We better not go off and twist off in an ill-informed, knee-jerk moment of nonsense and go beaten on an undeserved target, because then people are not going to pay attention to us when we're right. That's why this means an enormous amount to me. Now, some people have suggested, in fact, there was one lady on Twitter I had a nice back and forth with, who wondered if I just love this subject matter so much that I have a too forgiving eye, that I just love the subject matter so much that the space dork in me would be willfully blind to a slight to the American flag. And I told her, and I'll tell you, you bet, I'm geeked out in 14 different ways, as you know, by the film, by the upcoming 50th anniversaries of all the Apollo missions, etc. But there's one thing I love more than that. And that's my country. And if I sense the slightest molecule of real derision toward America, real purposeful affronts to American greatness, I will be on it, and on it. All right. And I think you know that. So this is me telling you the movie's fantastic, everybody mouthing off and saying that it somehow dishonors the flag is saying something profoundly ill-informed. And so just please go judge for yourself, because I'm going to tell you something. There's no such thing. There is no such thing as any human being who has seen First Man and come out and said, wow, they really insulted the flag, or wow, that really was ambivalent, or even less than ambivalent about America. No such thing. No such person exists. None. So enough, enough, enough. So just in the mechanics of this, though, in the five, it may not even be 5 minutes of Neil on the lunar surface, you don't even see Buzz. He's not there. I mean, obviously, subsequently he is, but for the story, which is from James Hansen's magnificent biography of Armstrong of the same name, First Man, came out in 2005. Read it. It shows him taking those first steps, and then the only other thing that it really shows, there's no spoilers here. The only other thing. That it shows. It doesn't see him bringing down the experiments package. It doesn't show him running around getting his moon legs and seeing what it's like. It doesn't show him, taking pictures, or Buzz taking pictures of him. It doesn't show Buzz at all. And who put the flag down? Neil and Buzz at the same time. It doesn't show the phone call with Nixon. It doesn't show anything of the moonwalk, except two things. One, the first steps. And then a moment of personal reflection, a gesture, an action that Neil takes at Little West Crater, the crater they almost crashed into. And that's all I'm going to tell you about that, because that's something that, quite frankly, may or may not have happened. But it may have. And so it's not total dramatic. Maybe it's a little bit of dramatic license, but it is so meaningful to the story and so magnificently portrayed that's it. And then they're back and you roll the credits and boom, there you go. There is not one breathing human being, not one, who sees First Man, sees it, thus knowing what the hell he's talking about, who comes out of that movie and goes, oh my gosh, they were such globalist nonsense. Oh, what a diminution of American greatness. No such human being exists. So, that's it. Okay? It's awesome. It's beyond awesome. And not just because space dork Mark liked it. In fact, it's funny. I've spoken to a lot of people who many too young to know or care that much about manned space travel. Others who are kind of ambivalent about it. Just blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you what's great about Ryan Gosling is Neil himself. And I just pinch myself 10 years later. I can't believe I met the man. Is so unassuming. He's not shy and retiring or a Casper milk toast, but he has almost no ego at all. It is about the mission, devotion to the mission, and that doesn't work out so well with the family, quite frankly. And that's in James Hansen's book, and it's not played out to uncomfortable degree in the film. It's just you just know that there's a wife and two kids there, and he's a good dad in a lot of ways, but a very absent dad in a lot of ways. And I was deeply moved. It's magnificent. And it's funny. I'll just one truly last thing. If you've listened to me for a long time and you know why I'm so dorked out on this, or you sense that I am, and all these stories I've told you about how we get from Mercury to Gemini to the Apollo fire in January of 1967 that killed Ed White, Gus Grissom, and Roger Chaffee, and how that just stopped everything. It paused everything. It stopped the world. It stopped our space program. And we almost didn't make it to the moon by the end of the decade because of that. But we did. We ultimately did. it takes you inside these spacecraft, and it takes you in a way that you're basically being launched into the sky on a bomb, and it's loud and it's uncomfortable. If you think it's like being in a big old SUV just rocketing into space, hey, look at us, man, we're going into space. It is as violent a ride as any human has ever taken. And Damien Chazelle is a genius. His ability to put you inside the souls and the space helmets of these people is, I simply can't say enough about it. So thank me later. and go see First Man. It was like third at the box office, or like 16 mil behind Venom and the enormously popular Star Is Born. I don't know. It's kind of funny. I don't know what it'll do at the box office, but this notion that it was boycotted by millions of people because of what a lot of folks said. Listen, maybe, and that's actually why I might be angry about this, literally angry about this, because if there, and I'm going to try to do my best, even if it's single-handedly, well, it's not single-handedly, everybody that's seen it knows I'm right. Everybody that's seen it knows I'm dead right. And what kills me is a lot of people who don't know what they're talking about went twisting off and disparaged this fine movie. So if a whole lot, but listen, it is commentators' job, it is senators' job to know what they're talking about when they criticize something. And as consumers of the culture, it's your job, my job, everybody's job, not to base your opinions on what other people say, but on your own impressions, on your own recollections and your own reactions. Okay, 866-660-5759. I'm Mark Davis, 723. Little Joe Jackson, hometown. Wherever your hometown may be, we are glad you are here. 866-660-5759. So President Trump starts out on 60 Minutes, and Leslie Stahl shows this litany of various hurricanes. We've had some hurricanes of late. I get it. And then asks, do you still believe climate change is a hoax? Like, what?
I think something's happening, something's changing, and it'll change back again. I don't think it's a hoax. I think there's probably a difference, but I don't know that it's man-made.
Thank you.
I will say this. I don't want to give trillions and trillions of dollars. I don't want to lose millions and millions of jobs. I don't want to be put at a disadvantage.
I wish you could go to Greenland, watch these huge chunks of ice just falling into the ocean.
10 seconds. I wish you could go to Greenland. Leslie Stahl, I wish you could consult basic logic. I don't care if you live in flippin' Greenland and see big chunks dropping off into the ocean. It doesn't mean humanity did it. It doesn't mean that my SUV or some factory in Pittsburgh is making Greenland dump off into the ocean. There is no proof whatsoever that human productivity is warming the planet.
Raising the sea levels.
And you don't know whether or not that would have happened with
Thank
or without
you.
Man. You don't know.
Well, your scientists at NOAA.
They ain't my scientists.
Scientists that disagree with that.
You know, I was thinking, what if he said, no, I've seen the hurricane situations. I've changed my mind.
What?
There really is climate change.
And anybody who, quote, sees the hurricane situation and changes his mind about climate change is a moron. I'm dead serious. Anyone who says, well, let's see, there's no evidence that human productivity is changing the planet's climate. Oh, but wait, we just had four hurricanes in a season. Oh, my gosh, everything I've always believed is wrong. What a stupid thing that would be to do.
Wow, what an impact. What an impact would make.
I'm not denying climate change, but it could very well go back. You know, we're talking about over millions of years. They say that we had hurricanes.
It's funny. I want to thank CBS for doing two things. Number one, running the portions of President Trump, answering questions with content and style and grace, and Leslie Stahl being really obnoxious. And I don't mean personality-wise, but just like, you know, shut up and let him answer the question. She's not asking, she's arguing. So, I mean, you know, there's more to hear, believe you me. So I'll talk about some of this with Mike Gallagher and a few other things as well, because he is next. How great is that? I'm Mark Davis on 660 AM, The Answer DFW, and always a howdy to our about 10 degrees warmer down there. I'm envious in San Antonio. Freedom 1160, San Antonio. It's 731 in the newsroom. Here's Gordon Griffin.
No need to talk it out. We know what it's all about.
There are three reasons to bust out with the Carpenters, rainy days and Mondays. Number one, it's Monday. Number two, it's rainy. Number three, Richard Carpenter's birthday. He is 72. Sister Karen, one of the great voices in American music, she died at like 32 a long time ago, but Richard Carpenter's birthday. As we say, a Monday howdy to Mike Gallagher.
Good morning. I thought of you driving into work this morning because I know how you love music stuff and music trivia. Yeah. And I was listening, for some reason, I was in a music mood and I was listening to Prince. I was just kind of channel surfing. Mm-hmm. What's the, when the elevator tries to take you down,
let's go crazy.
Let's go crazy. Isn't it creepy that the whole theme of that song was about the elevator trying to take you down and he died in an elevator alone in his house in Paisley Park? Isn't that crazy?
Boy, think about that. If somebody's written 1,000 songs, couldn't you find one lyric that you can go, ooh, wee? I mean, I don't know. Is that really a...
I just think that's so crazy that he talk about, don't let the elevator take you down. And the elevator took him down.
Well, actually, the pain man.
On that happy note. How are you?
I am great. I am fantastic.
How about President Trump with Leslie Stahl, huh?
How about it? It was... do you, in a way... So there's Leslie Stahl in all of her argumentative obnoxiousness, but they played it. They played her being interrupting and rude, and they played his wonderful... I have to thank 60 Minutes for pretty well running what was probably a pretty accurate portrayal of their conversation.
Mark, if somebody had been in a coma for the last 6 years and woke up Sunday afternoon and turned on 60 Minutes last night, had no idea what his aspirations were politically, knew nothing about him, and saw that interview for the first time, Mark, that person would love him. That person would love his honesty, his transparency, his ability to be open-minded. Wait a minute. What about climate change? Well, you know, I still don't think man causes it. The climate's going to change back, but I don't know that it's a hoax. I mean, he spoke the way real people spoke.
And
of course, extolling the virtues and the triumphs and the achievements of the first 20 months, if you could erase the last 20 months or 24 months or 28 months, you'd love this guy. If that was your starting point, if last night, and so for many people, Mark, here's the moral of the story. Last night is the starting point for the million, for many of the millions who watch that. They're not paying that much attention. They're watching TV. They sit down on a Sunday night, having had meatloaf and mashed potatoes, and they're watching 60 Minutes. And they say, you know what? This guy's a pretty good guy. We've got a lot done. I relate to this guy. I trust this guy. I believe in this guy. And that's going to hopefully motivate people on November 6th to say, yeah, I'm going to vote for this guy's party. Because make no mistake, the midterms, Mark, the one thing the negative, nasty mainstream media has said about him, which is true, it's about him. It is about him. You're either going to vote up or down on the Trump agenda and on this Republican presidential administration, no matter who you vote for. It's a referendum in many ways on Donald Trump.
It totally is. So if that's true, is that good for us or bad for us? I think for reasons you've described, it's very, very good. The people who really don't like him really don't like him. And there certainly is Democrat passion here. But in the post-Kavanaugh period, which I think memories stay totally fresh all the way to November 6th. You don't forget being mauled. You don't forget an affront of this size. People are saying, yeah, but Democrats are really upset also about the way that worked out. But that's about the exact same number of Democrats. Democrats hated him before Kavanaugh. They hate him post-Kavanaugh. The difference in Republicans pre-Kavanaugh and post-Kavanaugh is a ton of folks who were not that motivated to vote saw something so egregious, something so disgusting that they are now absolutely motivated to vote.
No, I mean, Mitch McConnell said it the other day. He said sort of the lackluster attitude that Republicans had has been eliminated. Democrats are already fired up. They were already mad about Trump. They're already mad about all the achievements. They're already mad about tax cuts. They're already mad about Kavanaugh. So that's baked into the cake.
Correct.
What wasn't ready, what we weren't ready for, is the motivated Republican voter, the motivated independent voter. And now I believe we got a whole bunch of reasons to be motivated. I still worry. 2 weeks is an eternity in politics, especially in this crazy time we're living in. So I still worry about 2 more weeks. Will people sort of get a little, it's all right, we got this. I worry about what polls say, because polls don't matter. What matters is that every single person gets off their duff and goes and votes. You got to vote. You got to be there. You got to bring your friends. If we show up, we win. If we show up, we win. If you could just remember that, because there are going to be a lot of complications if the Democrats control the House.
Ugh.
It seems like a foregone conclusion if you believe everything that they're saying. And I'm saying don't believe the polls, but the narrative is we absolutely control that. We keep the Senate. So we keep the Senate, they take the House, and nothing gets done. Impeachment proceedings will begin. That's all been confirmed. They all are ready to do that.
It'll go nowhere, but it'll be a huge distraction, as you've said a number of times.
It can't go anywhere. They can't get a conviction. Remember how impeachment works.
But they won't care. Exactly right. They'll
just
do it
just
anyway.
Like Bill Clinton. You can't get a. And incidentally, speaking of Bill Clinton, we got Hillary saying, "Well, Monica Lewinsky was an adult." You know, so all but conceding that she knows and confirms her husband's affair with Monica Lewinsky. My producer pointed something out a few minutes ago. There are 14 women who, using the media vernacular, have credibly accused the president. The former president of sexual assault. 14 women. Now, if you're Harvey Weinstein, you're all in all kinds of trouble. If you're Kevin Spacey, you're in all kinds of trouble.
No matter how long ago it was.
Doesn't matter.
Yep.
14 women. How in the world does this guy continue to be? And you see Democrats.
He's royalty. Bill Clinton is royalty and remains
royalty.
He's a
rock star.
Yep.
Rock star in the Democrat Party. Riddle, how does that happen? I mean, think about how crazy this is, because the whole Kavanaugh debate was, you got to believe the woman. You got to believe the accuser. All right. Well, why doesn't that rule apply to Bill Clinton's accusers? Is it because they talk with a Southern accent? I mean, what's the reason? When you look at Juanita Broderick and Paula Jones and Kathleen Willey,
sure,
you know, and 11 others, 14 women, and yet just something. By the way, also noting today that Pocahontas has taken a DNA test.
Have you seen this story? I did indeed, because didn't Trump kind of goad her and say, "Listen, let's see if you really truly have some degree of Native American blood in there." And what did 23andMe?
I just think it's hysterical
find?
That she actually got one. I figured she'd never get one. Well, she has released a DNA test that she says provides strong evidence that she had way back a Native American in her family tree. Now, this dates back 6 to 10 generations. The analysis, I find this so funny.
Oh,
the analysis is that way, way back somewhere, she's got like 1/32nd, you know, little bit of Native American ancestry. She has 12 times more Native American blood than a white person from Great Britain and 10 times more than a white person from Utah. But I don't even know exactly what that means, because I don't know how
the DNA.
I guess
is it, you know, 0.001 as opposed to 0.00001?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Lance in my ear here. It doesn't really. I thought he said. Oh, here it is. The report includes the possibility that she is 1/512th Native American.
Okay, there
if
you go.
1/512. I think I have more Native American blood.
It's distinctly possible. And speaking of Elizabeth Warren and numbers, did you see the interest? They asked a bunch of Democrats, whom do you like for 2020? Did you see this?
No, tell me.
Joe Biden. I'm going to tell you, so just to run you through the names. And it's the kind of thing that inspires confidence, because who on this list are you really concerned about? I don't want to say he scares me, because I saw him the other day. He's starting to look a little frail. But Biden has a relatability and an authenticity that Hillary could never dream of. I think Biden would have beaten Trump. I will always believe that. Anyway, though, thank God that didn't happen. So also on the list, so you have Biden.
I tend to agree with you, by the way.
I mean, just because it was that close and Hillary was a terrible candidate. Okay, so thankfully that's a moot point. But so Biden led the crowded field. Then came Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker. They even stuck Beto O'Rourke on there. There's a name they did not put on there that they should have put on there, who I think would have been number one.
Oprah.
Nope. Nah. That's nah.
Oprah
nope.
Winfrey.
Nope. Because she won't do it. No. Michelle Obama. Are we noticing that now that she wouldn't have been number one, or now that she's not thinking of running?
Both. A little bit of both. Why do you discount Oprah? Why do you discount Oprah Winfrey?
Because Oprah has zero interest in this gig. Zero interest. You think Oprah's going to give up that lifestyle for a real job? Not a chance. Trump lives for the real job. But Trump is a busy, in the trenches. The business world and political world have a lot in common with each other. He's just pedal to the metal all the time. He's a natural for this. Oprah wants to be worshipped and admired. And by the way, God bless her for her zillions of dollars. She deserves it. She's an amazing pop culture icon. Her level of interest in this job is zero. Michelle Obama getting her and her husband back in the White House. Listen, I'm not saying she's definitely going to run, but if she did, bets are off. Bets are totally off. She's the only Democrat, now that Joe Biden is starting to look a little long in the tooth, she may be the only Democrat, Mike, that I'm afraid of. The only one.
Well, the only one I'm afraid of is Oprah, and I'll tell you why. I mean, I know everything you're saying is correct. If the reality of the harshness of what she'd experience sets in, she wouldn't do it. But if she thinks she could save the world, because that's all she's about, saving the world.
But she wants to save it from her mansion on her own time, and I don't blame
her. That's exactly what they said about Donald Trump.
Why would you leave
Trump Tower?
You knew they were wrong. You said that was BS, but and I said it was BS at the time.
But he said it. He's talked about what a step down this has been. The White House is
care.
A step down.
He didn't
no,
care.
She wants to save the world. Don't rule her out.
There is zero chance she
runs.
We'll
see.
And I think 50-50 that Michelle does. I mean, the book tour, the book, the rock star
appearances. I mean, one thing about Joe Biden, Mark, he's 75 now.
Yeah.
So you're talking 77 years old.
Then you serve
when
a
you
term.
Start. Yeah, I don't know. And you're right. He's looking a little bit frail. The years are starting to catch up to him.
He's always been really energetic. But I saw him on a campaign
Me
trail.
Too.
Just,
Me
he
too.
Just, it was just, and
I thought the same thing. I thought
did,
the same thing.
Did.
It's a little bit like when I ran into Bob. By the way, it's a little bit like when I sat when I saw Bob Newhart on an elevator, and I remember I told you that, and I'm like, oh gosh, I mean, because you see our TV icons and our TV here, you know, people we'd love to watch, and then you don't want them to get old. They're not supposed to get old.
Yeah.
By the way, I have to give you an update to something that I'm going to preview on the show today, but I have to make an apology, and I'll a lot of listeners. Watched the video, the really cute video of the polar bear petting the dog on Friday.
It was cute video day on the Mike Gallagher Show. You sent everybody the mic online and said, hey, here's some cute stuff you could see, make you feel good in the middle of a tough week.
Well, my producer, Lance and Pavlina, they said, you got to see this video, Mike. We want to show these viral videos, and it helps. I mean, we get thousands of people watching. And there's this video, this huge polar bear playfully petting this little husky dog.
Awesome.
The dog is chained to a rock, and the owner put it there while the polar bear is... Well, I got back home on Friday with a slew of emails. How dare you? You've traumatized me. What's wrong with you? Because it turns out that after the camera was put down, the polar bear ate the dog.
I'm so sorry.
Yes, the polar bear did exactly what polar bears would do with a little dog.
Bears turns out
he was just playing with his food. We thought he was petting him.
We've all done it.
Just pick around at his mashed potatoes. But guess what? So I am very sorry. A typical Mike Gallagher.
This is the story of my life. Your heart's in the right place. But people are mad at me.
This lady called me. She said, I looked it up online and the bear ate the dog. How dare you? You've traumatized me. What the heck is wrong with you? I thought, this is what I do. This is like, I can't do any
no
contest.
Good deed. No good
I would
deed goes
get
unpunished.
Lost in a one car funeral, my friend.
I
apologize in advance.
You'll be on your game today. I guarantee you, he is ready. He is ripe. He is motivated. It's Mike Gallagher. We are ready to hear him right after we're done on 6660 AM The Answer in DFW and right around the bend on AM 930 The Answer in San Antonio. Sister broadcast outlet of the folks who hang out with us first hour each morning. Appreciate that on Freedom 1160. I'm Mark Davis. It's 7:51.
On a rainy morning,
little Ramsey Lewis takes us out. 1974. Ramsey Lewis Trio, a little album called Solar Wind. This is Jamaican Marketplace. Yaman. All right, hey, thanks for hanging out with us for hour number one. Hours two and three to follow on 660 AM, The Answer. San Antonio, God bless, be good. See you all tomorrow. They're on Freedom 1160. When we come back, into the Trump 60 Minutes excerpts, and Alan West is with us, 905. And Apollo 7 astronaut Walt Cunningham joins us, 935. No, I'm not going to prattle anymore about First Man. It's about our Saturday night event celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Apollo program that you can attend at the Frontiers of Flight Museum. So do stick around.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.